we make these facilities, and under the permit, we are responsible for maintaining them. If they fail, if you have a catastrophic failure, for example, up in Mount Vista a few years ago, we had a catastrophic failure in one of our facilities. A flood washed out the whole side. It cost us an enormous amount of money to repair that. We never received any money to repair that. The fees that people pay are ongoing operational costs that do not cover catastrophic failures. And so we have no fund or no way to maintain these facilities once we take them over from the developer. And so we're recommending going forward that we charge a system development fee to take these facilities and that money be used. It would be a schedule that would vary depending on the size. You can't charge the same fee for a guy that builds four houses for a guy that builds 400 houses.
So what exactly is the high and the low for, say, an average house?
It would be a structural fee that we have yet to determine, but it would be calculated based on the 25-year maintenance and or remedial cost of that facility. So it could be $50,000. Could be per
house?
Oh, no. Per facility.
Okay.
And we've tested this with some of the builders and some of the developers, and the ones we've talked to don't think that that's a problem for big developers.
Okay, so we're talking for big.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we don't know what it would be, but we think we should move forward with a system development charge that is commensurate with the cost to the county to repair these facilities.
So Ben, before we move on for public comment, I'd like to give the commissioners a chance to ask any questions.
Sure.
And one question I had to start with, just to lead off, is that the urban rate of $47 plus the $450 litigation fee. Granted, that's where most of the stormwater, action is. However, it seems like that urban fee is where most of our working families live, and that seems like it's placing a larger burden on the working families rather than the. That was my first thought. Is that, is there any way that we could take a look at that and making sure that we're not placing an undue burden on our working families? This is kind of an economic distressed area that we have now. And that was one comment. The litigation fee, of course, that is something we have to clear to the result of that lawsuit. And we're still way, way, way below both what the city is and what the average for other municipalities are for the stormwater. So I think we're still way in bounds, but that's a comment. And this connection and development fee, how do you expect the board or the commission here to recommend this program to the county board of commissioners when according to what Brian said, we don't know quite what we're recommending there, if it's an open-ended thing. I was wondering if
you could. Let me address that. You do know exactly what we're recommending, and that is that we move toward a system development charge.
So that's what we're.
That's the question.
Okay.
We've never had one before. Should we have one?
Does
that's
the
question.
Have one?
And if we should have one, then we will go out and research. The city of Puyallup has one. Other cities in the state
Vancouver.
Do that. The city of Vancouver does not. But there are other cities that do, and so there are models out there for this. And once we get the particulars back down, we will bring that as well to the commission to see if it's an acceptable model.
An acceptable rate.
Yeah, and an acceptable rate for you to adopt.
Okay.
The question tonight is, should we go to the commissioners and ask them to implement a system development charge?
Okay, which we will develop and propose a plan at a later time?
Correct.
Okay. All right, well, I'd like to open the floor to any other commissioners who have questions on this.
If I have a question.
Okay.
Does that put us percentage-wise with the new fees to the City of Vancouver's rates? Are we at 60% of their rates at this with our new rates?
Or are we really certain that this puts us still below about 50%? percent.
We're below 50% of the rate.
Vancouver rate per ERU is 120. Is that right?
It's not that high. It's about 97, 98.
100. Yeah. Okay. So we're still
well below just normal
half,
rates.
Right about half of what the city of Vancouver would charge.
Okay. Does any other
keep in mind if I'm going to interject? Vancouver has an ERU, equivalent residential service area, which is single-family residential lot, 2,500 square feet.
That's true.
And ours is 3,500 square feet. So if we were to put ourselves in the same boat as Vancouver, we would be even less, comparatively speaking.
Okay. Because we give 3,500 per ERU. They only allow 2,500 per ERU.
Okay. Does any, Brian or David, you have a...
I just made note of two things, but I think Mr. Beck probably answered my question about how this is going to be found out. First off, how are the fees evaluated in terms of where the perceived greater or lesser impact is to stormwater and water quality in general? And second, what would the process be to do this cost-benefit analysis to, I think, address some of the things that Gary talked about in terms of making sure that there's balance between where the greatest impact is and who's going to be the most affected.
Sure.
And it sounds to me, if we're going to recommend that the board move forward with the system development charge, then they're going to direct your department then to begin doing that research
analysis,
that analysis that would answer those two questions. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you catch that, Bobby?
So I have a question.
Yes.
Does any other commissioner?
One more. If I understood correctly, you said that the fee would go to $47 for properties that are within urban growth boundary. Yes,
correct.
And I'm going to be very specific here.
Sure.
So we have a battleground address. We are within the urban growth boundary of battleground. We are not in the city of battleground. We have our own private street and our own private water detention facility that we're responsible for maintaining. So our rate would go to $47 even though, because we are in an urban growth boundary, but we're not within the city and we're responsible for all of our own runoff. Is that correct?
Sounds correct. I'll defer to staff on that, but if you're within the battleground, the urban growth boundary, do you pay the city of battleground your clean water fees, or do you pay the county?
Pay the county.
Then you would be affected by this.
So our rates would go up for what benefit? Other than paying more money with the fund, but I'm just,
right.
Maybe our specific. It just,
well, the $35 rate?
May I interject here?
No.
Basically, the benefit would be, one, for us to maintain our operations and meeting permit requirements.
Sure, but for the county overall.
Sure, and then the other part is that settlement we have out there, we have to take care
right.
of that as well. That's not part of the 47. 47 is basically making
right.
sure that we have the ability to turn our machines on.
Sure, you're going on. I appreciate it. I understand it. It's just, is it the way it was spelled out, because we're in an urban growth boundary, although we're not part of the city yet, I was hearing that it was intended to affect those who are within, in essence, a city.
Right, and let me interject here as well.
An urban area.
One more item to interject is that if you were in battleground city proper, you would be paying a much higher rate than you would be paying to the county, even with this increase. So in battleground, you're paying roughly about $90 if you're inside the city.
Okay.
And you're paying the county, you're paying this $47, which is not that high. So just keep that in mind.
Let me just respond to Commissioner Rylander's
yes.
question, and that is, what benefit do I get? Okay, and you weren't here at the last meeting, but I described a $1.6 million deficit in revenue and operating costs, and that's after we reduced our expenses about $2.2 million. So it's the department's not bad.
No. I understand the need for money. Don't,
yeah.
don't get me wrong.
Okay.
I'm just trying to understand it. It sounded, it was something, it didn't sound, because you, it's intended to do a certain thing, but peripherally groups like our situation would be impacted, equivalent to urban, but we're responsible for ourselves. So I mean, just,
okay.
Are you satisfied? David, you had another question.
Just a point to understand this. This newsprint fee?
Yes.
I don't really understand that component and why, where it fits in with this.
Sure. And you missed the last meeting, too, in the board session. We had a brainstorming session in the department. Every manager attended. We had everybody throw stuff out on the board. We're trying to find a way to not just charge homeowners for this, right? How can we spread the cost more fairly? And so we had every member of the team tell us what, you know, if you were the clean water dictator for a day and you could charge anybody that you wanted to, who do you think impacts the system the most? And they just started throwing things out, you know, everywhere from dog poop to commercial buildings that don't have their own facilities, right? I mean, then the list went on and on. Bottles, cans, plastic bags, newspapers. And so I think we ended up with 16 or 17 items. We then told the staff, go out and research these. Can we do it? In other words, does the county have the authority to charge a fee on plastic bags, on cans, on newspapers? So can it be done? If it can be done, could we use the money for clean water? Would the money be restricted, to solid waste or something else that we couldn't use? If we do it, can it be verified? Are the numbers easy to verify? Does the money generated and the cost to collect it, is it worth it? If it's going to cost $80,000 to collect $90,000 in fees, it's probably not worth it. So a lot of the things kind of fell off the list as they went through that process. Newspapers made it through the process because, A, their numbers are easily verified, because all papers verify their circulation already. B, it's one of the top items that they find in our storm drains, that clog our filters in our storm drains. Three, each day, it takes about 95 million trees to create newsprint every year in America. So we know that creating newsprint costs trees. And trees are one of the number one things we do to slow down flow. So deforestation, we know, is a major factor, not only in climate change, but newsprint also generates about $126 billion of dirty wastewater every year as well. And so there's a direct nexus, not only to the environment and to the climate, but there's also a direct nexus to our maintenance and operations in our facilities. It's fairly easy to apply, and it's easy to collect. We wouldn't have to send out 2,000 bills if we tried to bill all the fast food restaurants for cups. It would cost us a lot of money to do the billing, obviously, which is one of the reasons why we don't do our billing anymore to households. We use the treasurer to put the bill on the property taxes. In the early days, we used to mail all of our own bills, and the default rate was very high, as you might imagine. And so it saved us mailing costs to go to the property tax statement. And our compliance rate went way up, too, which was good. So for all those reasons, it made sense to apply this. Easy to collect, easy to assess, direct nexus. It met the five criteria that we laid out for all 16 of those items. And we have the authority under state law to do so. And so that's really how it came to that.
Okay.
And that's where the recommendation came from.
So are you, Mr. Benton, going to make sure, I see you've listed all the papers. Are you going to target all of the papers, or are you going to focus on one paper?
No. The charge is for all print media distributed in Clark County. So that would include certainly the Camas Post Record, the Battleground Reflector, the Senior Messenger, the Columbia Newspaper.
And I appreciate you bringing up how many trees that do get cut to make paper. The trending in the paper industry worldwide is to use more and more recycled product to make paper itself. So they're using fewer trees, actual trees. It's more and more recycled paper.
Correct.
So I'm curious on the correlation between the two, because we can't, it would be not correct to throw, say, the paper industry is solely to blame for the loss of the trees.
No, of course not.
Especially now in recognition that there's really not a lot of old growth going on. So it's harder to retrofit the paper plants to accommodate the new growth papers. You have to replace the machinery itself.
Sure.
Hence the trend towards recycled paper.
I think that Director, what he shared with us is this is the number one thing. Newspapers are the number one thing you're finding in the storm drains, and they have to have the labor expended to clean them out.
Sure.
Susan, you have another Commissioner Rasmussen?
Yes.
If I could, Mr. Chair, just respond to Commissioner Wheeler's comments, and that is that it is our intent, and we discussed the recycle aspect that you brought up, and it would be our intent to build into the ordinance when we go to the board for adoption a rebate or a discount or waiver for papers that utilize at least 50% recycling.
My concern is that you're penalizing one industry over the other, because as you're penalizing the newspapers, or not penalizing, giving them a tax, a freight surcharge,
right.
The bigger picture is, as the newspapers are given more of a tax or more of an implementation, it will affect the companies that provide the newspaper, the paper that makes the newspaper print. So it's a bigger picture. You're not just one-centing the newspapers, but also the industry that supports newsprint.
Sure.
Okay. Commissioner Rasmussen,
you have the floor. Yes, Gary. I went back and found in my room of Clark County Clean Water documents a document going back to 1999 called Exhibit E, Clark County Clean Water Funding Task Force. And during, we went around and held 11 or so public meetings out and about and got public comments on where do we steer, what direction, how do you want to do, and what kind of charge. I was glancing through this, nowhere in the public record do I see anything about a newsprint fee or a connection and development fee. What I do see are fees attached to dog licenses, fees attached to a gas tax, fees attached to golf courses. I see lots of language about use colleges and high schools to monitor streams. Public information and education are considered a key element of this program. Accountability. Lots of language about what about nonprofit agencies? They should be seen as schools. Don't exempt schools if you're not exempting churches. Golf courses fall under commercial right now. I think this should be entered into the public record.
For what point, sir?
This is the public speaking on how and when we were about to establish this fee and how they wanted it charged.
Okay. The reason I ask that question is because right now the issue on the table is the presentation of what we're going to recommend to the board of directors.
Right.
And with the presentation they've given us, and they've given us specific, fees that they're going to ask for increases, they've given us costs, that they have to, that we're short, that we have to make up to settle those. We've discussed a newsprint fee, and we've discussed a connection and development proposal to be later defined. So with that, what the issue that's on the table, how is what you've presented relevant to this issue?
Because this is what the public has said.
I understand that. But the issue on the table is the proposal by the environmental county, to raise fees and make up differences
budget shortfalls.
Budget shortfalls.
Right.
That's the issue on the table. And so that's the reason I'm asking for
that. I appreciate the hard work of the staff, but again, we need to respect what the public has spoken.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we're disrespecting anything. I'm just saying that we have an issue on the table. David, you have a floor.
Would it be possible to take Virginia's recommendation that some earlier vetting with the public from 1999 be considered in the event that we do vote to move this forward to the commission?
Absolutely.
And that they do additional research when they do their research into the system development charge, that they
look at other potential targets,
revisit some of the old funding task force minutes, and as a way to possibly find other.
Is there a motion on the table anyplace?
Time out. Are we still on public comment, or are we on?
No, we're on commissioner comment.
Yeah. I have a question.
Just a second. He has a floor.
I don't think does that require a motion?
Well, if we're going to ask for a change in the venue, what it is we're going to be proposing to the county commission, that should be reflected in the minutes as a motion that we voted on and either accepted or rejected.
So I'd like to propose a motion that in the event that we move to direct the board or the commissioners to evaluate a system development charge, that prior public task force comments be revisited.
Okay.
During the research phase of the system development charge.
Okay. Is there a second to that?
Second.
Okay, a second. Okay. We're open for discussion, Brian.
We're still open for discussion on this. Okay. So. One of the things I'm going to recommend is that, and I think that's what we're here for today, is we need to focus on this budget right now, because aren't we under some sort of deadline for this budget?
The recommendation, if I could, Commissioner Peck, is this 14-year-old survey that's been cited is a little dated, and it's no problem to review the things that are in that. But these items that were mentioned were reviewed. We determined against the addition to the dog license because it would have an adverse effect on dog licensing. Okay? Fewer people would license their dogs. And so we decided that might not be the way to go. So we did a gas tax increase requires the commissioners do not have the authority to raise the gas tax. The state legislature retains the authority for gas tax. They don't allow locals. You can do a per car charge. We took a look at that too. That requires a vote of the people. The commissions do not have the authority. So we did, staff did vet 16 different items that were presented to this commission at the last meeting and researched those items. And that's why we came up with this one. A combination of a fee increase and a polluter fee. Now, does that mean that in the future we might look at other areas and add some kind of a polluter fee to them if in fact we need to going forward? Certainly possible, but you can't really do that if you have no polluter fee. You have to start somewhere if you're gonna actually go down that road. You have to begin the process. And so our recommendation to the commission and our ask of the commission here tonight is to vote to recommend this package to the Board of Commissioners. And we can always come back and add to it, but this is a step in the process. I didn't want to go to the board with the recommendation without presenting it to the commission first.
Sure.
So
Brian still has the floor.
So where I want to stay focused is at the task at hand, and we've been asked to basically vote up or down whether we recommend this budget as proposed to us. Your proposal, I believe, would be a great item for our next meeting to where we can discuss it in detail. And I think some of the items you can hopefully help us on that, on the legalities of some of these recommendations, whether we can, whether they're even possible. I think it's a great idea that we talk about it, but I don't think we should at this time. So while I still have the floor, I'm going to move to recommend.
We have a motion on the floor.
We have to. Oh, forgive me.
Okay, you're okay. Going. Well, wait a minute. You have a move for an amendment, right?
Amending motion.
Amending motion. To amend the motion.
Okay.
Is that right?
Well, I want to get to voting on this budget.
I do too.
Okay, so, but I also want to have a discussion in our next meeting about this because I don't want anything to cloud the focus on what we are at our task at hand today. So you we either voted down or we voted up.
So you
you don't like their budget, we say we don't recommend it. If we do like it, everybody raise their hand and we vote, yes, I do like it.
You're moving to table
table her recommendation for our next meeting, and then we will table her motion.
Does that require a second? To table the motion. Okay. We have a second to table the motion, so we're going to vote on that first because.
Okay, let's do that.
So all in favor of tabling this motion
to our next meeting.
To our next meeting.
I vote aye.
Okay.
Okay.
I think we
have a majority. So, forgive me, I still wanted to have some more discussion on this vote.
Okay.
On the
task. Well, that's what we're at now.
We're still at open discussion.
That table to the next meeting.
Okay.
So we're going to continue with our discussion on this proposal by the Office of Environmental Affairs.
So I'll give up my time to anyone else who'd like to have a discussion on any of the specifics in the proposal that you don't like or you do like.
Well, with that,
I have an issue about that concerns the process, and I think we need to be reined in here. And I appreciate the staff's willingness to come up with all of this, but I have a major concern that we are eliminating the public process component of that, which was very instrumental in this 14 years ago. And number two, I'm highly concerned that the staff is setting the policy and recommendations without much input from this commission. And that highly concerns me. But we're setting new precedents here.
Okay. You know, I appreciate that. With that, I'd like to open comment for public comment for our. Please state your name and your comments.
I'm Art Stubbs, and my concern is you stated that there was a meeting of all of the managers in your department, and the managers all came up with these recommendations. Are there minutes or notes or anything on that?
Yep.
As to how this was arrived at?
Absolutely. We keep minutes in all of our management minutes.
Okay. Where did the $2 million reduction come from?
Reduction.
In the program. You state that there is a $2.2 million reduction in our program.
In the budget. The budgeted amount was $9 million. The budgeted expense trap was $9 million for 2013 and $9 million.
So this $2.2 million is not part of the $5.2 million fee that we acquired,
no,
is that right?
No. No.
The 2.2 was a proposed budget?
No. It was an adopted budget. The Board of Commissioners adopted a $9 million expenditure budget and a $5.2 million revenue budget.
And where did they take off $2.2 million? What did they reduce?
Well, we reduced our budget to match inflow of revenue. We stopped doing the alternative flow program because the lawsuit, we weren't getting any credit with the Department of Ecology for that. We stopped paying the Department of Public Works to do our inspections. We took that in-house. Our own people are doing the inspections instead of paying the department. There were a number of reductions that appeared in the budget packet adopted by the board in September.
So we're no longer doing monitoring, stream monitoring, is that right?
We're doing some stream monitoring. We no longer are monitoring the 14 streams that we used to produce the stream report 3 years ago.
No. And how then do you determine whether or not your program is effective by not monitoring them?
Because we monitor the ones that the Department of Ecology tells us to.
I see.
Those were enhancements to the program. They were not required under the program.
Okay. In reporting to the NAC board then, I would like to know what kind of survey you did to find all of these newspapers as one of your number one major polluters. And are you including periodicals like magazines, flyers, and anything else?
Print daily and weekly print publications were the ones that were targeted in this proposal.
And this is what your managers came up with.
Expand that in the future. It was one of 16 items that the managers came up with.
Mr. Benton, please, don't stroke me, okay?
Okay,
I've been around for a few years. And I don't want to,
you know, I'm happy to answer your question. We're one of 16 items that the managers came up with in one of our meetings.
So you did not include any magazines?
No.
And you have information on where and how the information or the pollution of these papers was gathered?
I don't know specifically what you're after.
Well, you stated that the papers, the newsprint, is the number one polluter in the county.
No, I never said that.
You know, I think the director's answered your question, that they have, based on the reports of the people doing the maintenance work or whatever, that was their determination. I don't think that there's I'd like the public to know
what's going on, in as much as the public was part of establishing this and the criteria that go along with it. You're willing now to pass a motion to say, let the county commissioners impose a fee that they just took off of all of the building contractors. Now you want them to put one back on?
I'm saying we're here to look at this proposal. And
I believe that
the director has answered your question. And the lady back here has the floor. What was your name, please?
Sunrise Omahani. Okay. And actually, would echo a lot of what Art was saying, and I don't feel like the question was answered. I would like to know, you said that it was one of the top polluters, so I have two questions. When the group of all of the managers, which I would love to read the minutes, because I'd love to see who was present, but when they were all there, did they vet those ideas prior to having the facts of which one of the top polluters, or after? So you're sitting around there.
I'm not sure I understand the question, but let me give you the process again, because apparently it's not clear. We had a brainstorming session with managers to try to come up with other ways to fund the Department of Environmental Sciences Clean Water Program, rather than just putting all of the burden on small business and homeowners. And so the staff came up with 16 items from this brainstorming session that they thought were implementing their program, impacting their program, causing problems with their program, or causing pollution.
Right.
These are professionals in the department that have done it for years. They came up with these items. We then assigned a committee, of which I was not a member of, and that committee then took those 16 items and vetted them based on 5 criteria. Is there a nexus? Is it easy to collect? How expensive would it be? What kind of revenue would it generate? Does the county have the authority to implement it? And after they did that, there were a series of 5 or 6 system development charges, private road fees, and environmental surcharge on newsprint were the items that kind of rose to the top. That's what was in the public work session as far as options for the board. We had that over a month ago. It's been in the newspaper extensively. We received emails and a lot of public comment. We continued then to research, and now we've settled on those 3. So what specifically is it that I have an answer?
Well, first of all, you did not at all. It was quite insulting how you responded to me, because you
So
obviously I'm not understanding. You just answered what you've already said in this meeting just a few minutes ago.
What is it you would like to know?
So maybe don't interrupt.
I'll try to
let me say this, and before you answer, make sure you understand what I'm asking.
I'll try.
So what I'm asking is, when you have, you're basing this information, the manager's vetted this, and I understand that was after the fact, I mean after the ideas came up. Where can I see that information, the statistics of what you found? I hear it's in the top three, but I want to see how much you saw, not you personally, how much they found, how much, what were those top areas that you're saying, those 16, and see where they were at. So a newspaper, I don't know, is X percentage of the this dog waste is X percentage. Where can I find what information you and your managers made the decision based on?
Well, I'm sure that they have minutes of their meetings. I didn't dive into that. I mean, I don't know.
So in the minutes, if I go to the minutes, I'm going to see newspapers ranked here. This ranks there.
No, actually, that here. Question came up, and I think I know what you're getting at, because I asked the same question. And the response was, it depends on the facility. If you look at a stormwater facility next to a school, you'll find a lot of pen tops and spiral notebooks, right? If you look at one that's close to a Starbucks, there'll be a lot of Starbucks coffee cups.
So the ones next to the Columbian.
So it just depends on what the top one, two, or three items are. But in the top five overall, we find inside our storm drains a lot of newspaper. They are thrown in people's driveways in plastic bags. They end up in the storm drain because the driveway is pretty close to the storm drain.
I understand.
Okay.
But I would so like they to do see end those up numbers. Is it possible to see, unless I understood you or did not understand you, you said that you had, they went and vetted each of those and they said, okay, it is an amount of we're finding this many newspapers. This many this many that.
No, I don't think that's what they did. I think they looked at
it. So they looked at it and just said, well, we think that we're seeing a lot of this. I mean, where did they get that information?
Well, all 16 of them impact our program. Some of them
I'm not saying that they don't, but how did staff say this is the top three, the top five? How did they come to
that? I don't think they ever gave me a list of the top three or top five.
Well, you said that newspapers is one of the top, so how did they give you that if they didn't give you the others?
It came from my managers. I don't
And where did the managers get the facts to make that decision?
I don't know the answer to that question.
So you're saying that they came up with a decision that newspapers were in the top.
Right.
Without any facts to base off of them.
I'm sure there were facts. I trust my staff.
So where can I get that information?
And they research it.
So where can I get that information?
I'm sure that we can talk to our staff and ask
you
to produce.
So do I ask you? Do I ask the managers and staff?
Sure. I'll look it up for you. Contact me tomorrow and I'll look up the information.
Is it online someplace, Don?
I don't even know what it is.
I don't think so. There are internal meetings. I have five divisions. I trust my division managers and I assign them to research the 16 items and they came back to me with the items that were viable.
Going back, 14 years ago.
And newspaper was one.
We got this whole summary. That we were able to use as a navigation tool to establish our funding.
Correct.
This is what and this is what the public said. Golf courses are on here. Dog licenses, gas tax, golf courses. Nowhere are there news. Is there anything about paper?
We've made that before. I want to before we go on give you another chance, Commissioner Rasmussen. Can we close the public comment now? Is there
I second it or motion or whatever. Close the public comment and come back to the commissioner discussion.
Okay, we're gonna
at hand. We were talking about.
Is it a move to call the question?
Well, once we finish, to somebody will ask to call the question, and that should certainly be you, Commissioner Wheeler. So
I move that we continue discussion on this specific budget. And I move that anyone, I'm going to put my input on what I think and where I want to go, where I want to vote on this. And then I believe anybody else that feels strongly should then also come in and take any specifics that you don't like, say you don't like it, not going to vote for it, cuts this. Let me just say that the last couple of meetings that we've had, we are at less than 2008 levels your department is.
Correct.
Right now. Okay, we're below 2008 levels. I believe that people like Earl are professionals in our county system. They've made their best judgments on how to come up with these recommendations. The public here has said, well, how did they come up with newspapers as being in the storm drains? Where did they come up with it? I would just suggest that the way they came up with that is that it was common sense. That newspapers are on the on driveways all over the place next to storm drains, and they used common sense. As far as the fees and the distribution of the pain, as far on these fees, I think it was well thought out once again by the professionals and these managers and these departments that have been in this business for a long time. I'm not going to try to suggest that I know more than you or you. I'm not going to try to even say for one second I know a tenth of what you know. But what I can see is that these fees are well under the city norms, county norms, country norms, all across this country. We're still paying a very low rate as a whole. I think the increases are fair, and that a system development charge, I think, is a good idea. We have costs that are going down the road. I've been on this commission for almost 2.5 years, and we've been talking about raising the rates for 2.5 years. I mean, we've been talking about it for a long time.
Have we ever mentioned?
Anyway, I still have the floor. I think this is a fair proposal. I think it's a good proposal. I'm going to vote in favor of the board recommending this budget to the commissioners. Now, I'm going to relinquish my time, and I hope everybody else vets their concerns about any specific item that they have, and then when everybody on the board has had their fair say and they feel like they've had their fair say, I move that we take a vote on it. So I relinquish my position.
Commissioner Ryan.
Brian, with all due respect, I give more merit to what you're saying if you had appeared more than a handful of times over the last couple of years at these meetings.
I've been here a lot compared to
the meetings.
We're here to be respectful to everybody.
I am respectful. I'm voicing my concerns over the process that was used to arrive at this decision. I hear staff and directors used repeatedly. I hear nothing about the commission's input. I hear nothing about the public input. And that is really disturbing.
I would like to share, Commissioner Rasmussen, that your comments have been noted in the minutes and will be carried forward. Does anybody else have any, Commissioner Reilander?
I believe that we hire people and we elect people. This is a representative form of government to make decisions for us based on their knowledge, their experience, best practices. Either we believe that people are inherently good and they're making an effort to do what's right in the best interest of the public, or we believe that they're lying scoundrels. I don't see it any other way. In this particular case, this commission, in my obviously incredibly limited period of time, is an advisory group. And as an advisory group, we do not make policy. We do not provide direction. We make recommendations and suggestions based on input. If we're uncomfortable making those comments and suggestions, or we need additional time to make those recommendations and suggestions, then so be it. On that basis, I believe that as noted, when something is brought to us, if we are comfortable in supporting all or most of it, then we say so. And if we're not, and we need additional time, then we say that as well. But I, for one, cannot accept that the staff and the people that we are paying and have elected are inherently trying to circumvent the public's best interest or the public's best needs. And at best, I accept my role in making recommendations and suggestions.
With that, Chair will entertain a motion to call a question.
Call a question.
Okay, second.
Are we closing our discussion?
Yes, close the discussion.
Okay.
Everybody's set to say? Call a question. Okay, with that, we've got the motion moved and seconded to call the question, and the question is that do we accept the staff's recommendation to move forward to the commissioners with this, idea that we are, you know, we support the information and the research, and that also within this recommendation to add fees, we're going to recommend that they consider the staff's recommendation of a polluters and connection fee study, of which time they will determine the details at a later date. All in favor, would you please raise your hand?
Could we please have
the motion is on the floor.
Right, but because of incomplete minutes, we should have an audio and a voiced vote, shouldn't we?
Do you want to roll call vote?
Yes, roll call vote. All right. Then we'll do a roll call vote, okay? Commissioner Wheeler.
Affirmative.
Commissioner Meyer.
Affirmative.
Commissioner Rasmussen.
No.
Commissioner Van Breen.
Affirmative.
Okay. Commissioner Rylander?
Yes. Yes.
Pack?
Yes.
Motion passed. So we're going to move this forward to the board, to the board of commissioners, directly then.
Mr. Chair, let me just take an opportunity to thank the commission for listening to the recommendation. I certainly personally do not take recommending increases in fees lightly. It's a very serious situation, and I wouldn't recommend it if I didn't think it was absolutely necessary in order to maintain the integrity of the department. My charge from the Board of Commission has been to do whatever is necessary to comply with the federal law so that we do not find ourselves in another $30 or $40 million lawsuit, because we could easily be raising this fee significantly higher and we wouldn't see a penny of it. It would be going directly to a judge in Washington, D.C. So we would much rather be in compliance and use the money that we raise locally to benefit people locally. And that being free of floods and having clean water to drink and having clean streams and rivers, I believe is worth $1.10 a month. Because that's what the fee, the $14 fee inside the building, really amounts to. It's about $1.10 a month. I think that's a good investment for our community, and it's necessary to comply with the permit. So I want to thank the commission for understanding that and for taking a difficult position in approving the recommendation of this package to the board. Pieces of it could change, elements of it could change, depending on what the board wants. The package that I presented to you is exactly the package that I intend to present to the board based on your recommendation. I want to thank you for your time tonight.
Thank you, Director. The next part of this is the 2013 Clark County Water Commission Annual Report. As we previously heard, it somehow blew up in Jim Carlson's computer. We're going to postpone this item until the July 2nd meeting, which will be a regular scheduled meeting. But also on July 30th, from 9 to 10 a.m., we're going to have a Clean Water Commission annual report work session to go over the results of what was presented on July 2nd. So I'd just like to enter that into the minutes, Madam Secretary, that we're going to go forward that. General business, we have a discussion on the clean water program waiver for schools. And Mr. Royal, you have a report on that.
What I tried to do is basically hammer out a rough draft of what has transpired since the last meeting. The last meeting was on April 2nd. We had an opportunity to hear from the schools, provided some information on how we're going to charge schools or how we're going to work with schools. One of the chief things that came across, and you have this in your material, basically what we did since that time frame, we had an opportunity to look at what are the factors that are going into this criteria. The criteria is to, over a three-year period, is to look at what are schools doing, how are they doing it, and how are we going to get basically good information from them. Specifically, what we were looking at schools that have applied for fee waiver or for basically an appeal to the Clean Water Program to reduce their fee. The ones that we got appeals from was Battleground, Evergreen, and Vancouver Public Schools. That's in the information you have as well. What we're currently doing is with basically Evergreen and the Vancouver schools, we're looking at the criteria in and of itself. The criteria is stated here. One, they have to have their best management practices in place, good training at their facilities. Two, they have to make sure that those facilities are working for each and every school within their district. Three, they have to work with, or we're looking at them to work with what's called the Green Schools Program at the state of Washington. Now, if they do all of that, then they may be allowed to have a reduction. So, for example, in this illustration, I talked about the school district might have roughly, say, $25,000 worth of clean water fees. If a school has a reduction of, say, $2,000, if they do all of 1, 2, and 3 in the criteria, then the fee is going to be $23,000. So that's just an idea or a concept that's out there. Currently, I think there's at least, I see Jennifer in the back here, I think there's at least two schools in the Vancouver district, maybe more, that will be eligible for that reduction. And their fee is roughly about, she says more. So their fee is going to be roughly $43,000, so it's probably going to be reduced if they do all of these different things, and I think they are. I'll talk to you more after the meeting. So we're going to be looking for that. Evergreen's doing the same thing. They came in with their records and showed us what they're doing, where we've assessed their properties with playgrounds in a bunch of sandy areas. We don't assess sandy-like areas. So we look at trying to make sure that the fee is as accurate as possible. We want to make sure that clean water fee is correct for all the different parcels. So that's what we're doing now. We're going through these extra steps, working more with Evergreen and Vancouver. We're looking to get that stuff done, and we're looking to have all this done by the end of May. That's the goal. I'm done.
Okay, with that, we'll move in for public comment, if any public comment, for Mr. Rowell's presentation.
I would just like to, Jennifer Hall, Vancouver Public Schools, and just like to reiterate how hard our schools are working on the Washington Schools and they're excited about some of the projects and the things that they're doing and learning, and some schools are, you know, going above and beyond, doing several certifications this year, and you know, they're exemplar, and then other schools, you know, not as exemplar, but I think the intent of getting the efforts out to every school and every conversation and the teachers and staff and PTA and local nurseries who are donating native plants for native gardens and such is very exciting.
So. We appreciate your help.
Thank you for the opportunity to have this endeavor to be continuing. It has been a very successful.
Okay, thank you for your comments. With that, is there any more public comment? With that, then we'll close.
I've got one more item.
Okay.
One more item that's in your packet of materials, at least it should be, is the bylaws for this commission. We have talked about it, having discussion for tonight's meeting, but that's not going to happen for tonight. What I'm asking is this group, this is a reading assignment for you. So read it between now and the next meeting. You've got an opportunity to have a wealth of information. Some modifications, I'll just touch upon those. If you have this in front of you, do you have it?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is on page...
Okay, I can do that.
This is on page 2.
It's not too much.
Page 2, there's a couple of sections that have been modified based on recommendations from this commission. So this is from last year and some information from this year. So anyways, you have information on page 2 that got modified. And then the last part that's got modified is on page 5, where we're talking about representation. I tried to take a stab at identifying who you represent for each of your respective areas. So if you see something on here like Brian Peck, I put you down as small business owner. if you say you're not a small business owner or however you want to do it, Dick, I put you down as a citizen at large. Whatever is most appropriate for what you represent. When you come to this table, who do you speak for? Do you speak for your area? Do you speak for a certain community? I had Susan as North County Agricultural Representative. So those are the kinds of things I identified. But what I'd like for you to do is to come back, make the modifications that you want to make, and then at that time, at the next meeting, this group, then we'll take those modifications, and then we'll adopt. That's my suggestion.
Okay. Anybody have any comments on staff member Ruel's comments? With that, then, I was asked by our chairman to go to the stakeholders meeting, which I did, and basically, the meeting was a parrot of what we had before. They discussed the design manual, the codes, what we were changing and what we were doing, stormwater erosion control, the stormwater manual. The staff presented the updates to those, to the stakeholders, and they also asked about the status of the clean water fees. Of course, we didn't have an answer at that time, or they didn't have an answer at that time to share with the attendees. There was a lot of discussion about the schools and the school waivers on there, although, you know, there was no settlement other than they were wanting to find out what the details and what the final recommendations would be on this. And tomorrow, there's some lucky person from this commission will be appointed to attend the Stormwater Stakeholders Commission meeting at from 4 to 6 to represent our Clean Water Commission Board. And I was wondering who would like to volunteer for that, to do that.
I went to the last one with you.
Yes, I know.
So I'd be happy to go if you want.
Okay, so Commissioner Rylander then will attend that meeting, and it will be from 4 to 6 at the same place that they have over there in the office.
So that's tomorrow.
You're not available?
Oh, I could certainly go. I'm not sure.
You're assigned to.
Oh, then Dick and I will once again make our appearance there and do our best, but I was just fulfilling that assignment that Chairman Carlson, gave you last time by talking about what they did at the board. And then there's another one tomorrow, and they're going to have, they've got basically the same agenda to look at, you know, what we're doing and what the county's doing to introduce, that qualifying provides basic understanding you know, the actions of the topic, which were basically the same thing of how the impacts of the stormwater is going to be distributed, and we now have that more information to share on that. Commissioner Rylander and myself will attend that meeting, and we'll report back to you on the July 2nd meeting, what's happening with that. Is there any more... Director Benton.
If you're wrapping up, I just want to kind of piggyback on what you said. When we talked about the NPDES permit every 5 years, and that's what Gary's really referring to. Every 5 years, the Clean Water Act, Congress, federal government, EPA, puts out a new permit. DOE manages that for our state. They figure out the language they want, and they send it down to us. We have a year to vet that, to talk to members of the community, and to incorporate the changes in the new permit into county code. And that's one of the ways they make darn sure municipalities are doing what they're supposed to be doing, is rather than just say, oh, here, follow the permit. Department of Ecology requires the municipal, the permittees, to actually incorporate those changes into their county code. So it's not just following the permit, you're actually following county law, county building law. And so we have two groups, a technical advisory committee, which is builders and geotechnical engineers and developers that sit and talk about this. And I was at that one this week. There was a meeting on that. And then we have a stakeholder group, which is a bigger group community-wide, where we collect input, and that's the one that meets tomorrow, I think, that you're referring to. And so both of these groups are collecting input, trying to fine-tune the changes and the technical aspect of the code. Part of what we're going to do is design a manual that builders and developers can use to have this new code in, and that's what we're rewriting right now. The department's working, our Clean Water Department is working very hard on that, and we've got a lot of people engaged in that in the community, and we're happy to have the commission engaged as well. So I think the public comment period ends, is it today or next Monday?
It ends Monday.
Yesterday. The public comment period
on
the first draft. It's been a crazy week already. We're not even halfway there. The first draft, public comment period has ended on that, and so we'll incorporate those in. So we still have a long ways to go. There'll be many public meetings, just like there will be on this. The board will have public hearings on this, so there'll be plenty of opportunity for people to weigh in, not only on the manual, but on the recommendation you make here tonight as well. So there'll be many, many steps over the next several months where the public will have a chance to weigh in. They have had, and they will continue to have at these advisory meetings. So it's a long process. We have to go through it every 5 years when we renew this permit. And we've got about a year into this one and another 6 or 7 months before we actually go to the board. The board will adopt in the county code, and then we'll be good until 2018, and we'll start the process all over again. So I just wanted to kind of share the process with you, how that works, how we end up where we're at, why we're going doing these meetings.
On behalf of this commission, though, I would really like to share with you, Director Benton, the hard work and the thoughtfulness and the study that you've put into this. One of the things that I believe we all do here, we're here to do good for our community and our future generations. We're going to have to live with whatever decisions we make and whatever efforts we do. I appreciate Commissioner Rylander. It's talking about the public service effort, and I also appreciate Commissioner Rasmussen's heart in wanting to make sure that the views and the vetting of the public forum and discussions is well considered. It's how we respect each other, how we respect our efforts and the people we're working with that will determine our effectiveness in going forward without, you know, dissension or derision. I personally, you know, have a real heart for what my children and grandchildren are going to be experiencing, and that's basically based on what we're doing. That's the reason I'm sitting here. So I want to thank all of you for your hard work, for showing up tonight, and for your thoughtful discussion on these issues. And with that, I'm going to close the meeting. Oops. Go ahead, Susan.
Make it.
Okay. I just rallied the public comments going back that were from the Clark County Clean Water Funding Task Force, Exhibit E, summary of public comments, rating and comments from public gathering comment sheet table. There were 70 written comments. Only one referenced charging the school a fee.
Okay, well, we heard a dissertation report which was accepted by the commission. But once again, Commissioner Rasmussen, thank you so much for your part in what you're doing and all that. So, with that, meeting's adjourned. Thank you so much for coming and participating.
FYI, I'm a new guy. I don't normally attend these meetings unless my department has something to present. You have questions for me, and I'm notified by the chair ahead of time that they want me here. I'm happy to come. But I want all of you to know, please call me. I mean, you call me anytime if you have questions or concerns.
I try to be prepared, Boy Scout.
Very good.